Yeah.
So.
All the red lights are on.
All the red lights are on. All right, sound check. Jeez.
Good?
Yeah. It's my first time I've had an assistant.
Yep.
It's my Nazi assistant over there. Tell me what to do all the time. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree with that.
All right. Oh, man.
Life's tough.
I did. I know. All right. Are we ready? We got speed.
You're paying for it.
Okay. One, two, three. Welcome to Security Guy Radio once again.
Oh, thank you.
What's your name, sir?
Mark Clifton.
I knew that, but I wanted to ask. It's a little redundant.
Yeah.
And you're with, now I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say the old company, SRI. It's now Princeton Identity.
That's correct.
You guys have rebranded.
We're not rebranded. We actually spun out. So we took the company outside of SRI. It's a separate company now.
All right.
We've stood it up, took the people that were with the biometrics business and moved them into the new company, and it's exciting.
And I think it was, did I see you at ISC West? Maybe it was about a year ago. And that product you had, which is the identity, it's the same product. But now you've just spun it up as a separate company and a separate brand stuff now.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And we made an announcement yesterday. So Samsung has licensed our technology.
Oh, fabulous.
And they also,
I know you're working on that.
They
yeah.
also invested in the company.
Right.
So that technology is now in their iris recognition on their phone, on the Note 7. So they're actually using our technology now. So we're very excited about that.
Now, difficult in this environment. Normally I go to the booth and we take a picture of it and stuff.
Right.
But just walk us through it, and remember we're on radio and video, so we have to describe it.
Okay.
Your technology is biometrics using tablets or mobile devices.
Correct.
Which makes it a lot speedier, a lot faster, and just describe it to us. It's a unique product.
Yeah, so I actually have a Note 7 in my hand,
that's fabulous.
So I can actually show how it works. But you can open the phone with your iris. Basically, you swipe it. And you hold it up to your eyes, and
you're like
opens the phone.
Yeah, you're like a foot away from that,
yes.
And it read it pretty fast.
Yeah, it's very fast, and it reads your iris, and there's also secure folders. You can hide stuff in there and then only open it with your iris. So
now, last time I was here, we were using tablets. I don't think we hadn't gone to the mobile. This is a big deal, right?
Yes.
How are we using this in the field now? Instead of carrying that tablet, which is a little bigger, I guess almost every employee, in theory, bring your own device, could have their own access control.
You could own your own identity on your phone, and then the phone could provide a token to your access control or whatever.
I like this because people are very worried about the biometrics.
Yes, and
right?
you keep it on your phone.
It's on your phone now. That's the difference.
Right. And it's in a secure zone on the phone. The processor has a trust zone, a secure zone, and that's where they store the information.
Is this different than other devices where that biometric file is saved someplace else? Is this unique?
Yes. They have worked with Qualcomm to put it in this secure trust zone area. It's actually resides in the processor in a special area that only the manufacturer can get to.
Now, the way I understand the biometrics, and I just spoke to, I forgot the name of the company. Oh, I shouldn't forget the name. They're like the leader in the biometric field. They've been doing it like 40 years. And we're talking about how you save these biometric files. So I have the thumbprint, let's say, or the
iris.
And that's converted into a digital file. Sometimes in the old days, it was an actual picture, so to speak, right?
Right.
And then you separate, Mark from that in a different file and keep it someplace else. But some of the failures in the past were that these two things were kept in the same place.
Right.
And then we knew that this was Chuck's eyeball, and we shouldn't know it's Chuck's. It's just
an anonymous eyeball. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So now that it's residing on the phone, gosh, we know it's your phone.
Right.
And therefore, it must be your eyeball. How do we handle the security on that part of it? I like that it's in my hand and I own it now.
Right.
But now I got to be more responsible, right? So if I lose it, that's on me.
Well, so if you don't have access to that particular part of the processor, you can't actually get at the template or the digitized version of the eye. So
not hackable per se.
I never say anything's not hackable,
but
it's very hard.
Right, right.
It'd be very hard to hack. So I think the key is that they've really taken Samsung's taken a lot of care to make sure it's in a very secure area, and they really did worry about that. And it actually runs. I'll get into some of the technical details, but it actually is harder to run the algorithm, the things in this part of the processor or whatever. So you have to do a lot of special things to make it all work.
So to boil it down to a simpler term, is this installed at the manufacturing level?
The trust zone is, but you actually enroll yourself on your phone,
right?
And then it goes into that zone, and then you can't get at it then.
Yeah, so it's on the board. It's you know, kind of the BIOS is the way to describe
it. Right,
it's which makes it much more secure instead of just downloading an app that can be taken or moved off.
And now there are some manufacturers that have, I believe, have some other biometrics and things like that, and they actually store the image on the phone, and it's available.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to be storing the image.
Now, I have a Note 5, and I think that was,
the fingerprint.
The fingerprint, it worked about 80% of the time.
Yeah.
That was different technology.
Yes.
And that was theirs, not yours.
Right.
Not yours.
Right.
And this is really up the bar because, like you say, this is on the board of the phone. It's in the manufacturing process and not just an add-on app.
Right.
And are you unique to that? Is Princeton Identity the only person that has this on a phone right now as far at this level?
No, on a global level, Samsung's released this on a global level.
Yeah.
So that's the first time. I think there's been some regional, I think in Japan there's a company doing it on a phone and maybe in a few other countries.
I'm real excited for you guys. This is a great idea.
It is. So, you know, we expect that once the consumer starts to adopt the iris and starts to use it, much like Apple did with the fingerprint, once that adoption starts to happen, you're going to see a lot more biometrics, just like it did in the security industry. Fingerprints are everywhere, right?
That's true.
And so the adoption happens once a consumer is accepting the...
Yeah, it doesn't really move from the business side to the consumer side. It moves the opposite way.
Right. The consumers say, oh, I want to use that system, right?
Because if they don't like it, it's not going to happen, right?
Right.
And I like the fact that the eye portion of it seems a lot easier than the finger.
It's protected, so it's not as environmentally sensitive. You don't have to worry about whether your hands are grease-free or dry.
Yeah. Now, you can't see the booth, but I was down there. You guys have a good promotional spread. That was a very nice layout there with all the hors d'oeuvres and everything. So I know you guys are going out to promote this. It looked very, very good. I'm very happy for you guys. I wish you a lot of luck.
All right.
And I'm very excited about the product. I have a Note 5.
You should upgrade as soon as they fix the battery issue. It's a great phone.
I'm waiting for the battery thing to be fixed. That's true. I was worried about that. But
in about a week.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't do the battery. I promise.
Disclaimer, that's right. Mark, thanks again for coming on Security Guy Radio. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.